Hi, this is Pam Reynolds, and I'm about to do my second podcast. I'm going to begin with quotes. I always begin with quotes, and I end with quotes. And this one is by Isaac Asimov. Your assumptions are your windows on the world. Scrub them off every once in a while, or the light won't come in. The next one by Pandora Puglius. They have the unique ability to listen to one story and understand another. And the last one by Rashid Ogunlaru. Life is a series of events and sensations. Everything else is interpretation. Much is lost in translation and added in assumption or projection. This post is going to be dealing with assumptions, all the things that we assume, and all the things that other people assume that we are saying. How sure we all are of what is the hidden truth behind everyone's motives and frustrations. We think we know why a person said what they said and did what they did. At least that is what we assume. Nobody lets us in on the secret that we assume too much, and most of the time, if not all of the time, we're wrong. I say this with belief in what I know to be the reality beneath our facades. At a function, if I approach a couple of people who appear to be laughing, but then they stop when I approach, I'm sure they're not likely fond of me. It is as if I have ruined their good time in exchange. If I could leave it there, it would be okay, but this is not the case. I dwell on the event throughout the night and observe them for more signals of their lack of interest in me. I realize everything doesn't involve me or revolve around me, but that's why I sense others are not impressed with me. So my confidence is shaken and I become quiet and I start taking in the behaviors of others present. The more I see, the more I begin attributing connotations for the words and actions of others. Of course, my confidence is at an all-time low. It can be so devastating to the point of leaving the function with total insecurity. Of course, the next day, one of those two people that ignored me may call me, and they begin stating their regret for having little time to spend with me the night before. I begin thinking, hey, they're reading my mind. Of course, I appreciate the basic apology, and I'm happy to discuss the events of the previous day. Now it is the two of us discussing the events, and that other person is on the outside. Now I feel special, worthy, and I realize I was mistaken in the belief that I was ignored and not liked. Now that I'm older and have spent years observing and contemplating such situations, I comprehend how easily we are led astray in believing in our worthlessness. Another notion occurred to me. We are extremely fragile people. I suppose that must be why we fight and argue so much. Our feelings get hurt. We can't even explain why, so we hide away until someone comes to our rescue. Our next step is to desert those who we perceive have hurt us for those who came to our rescue. One can see we change friends like we switch our clothes. We perhaps might get around to the same set of clothes just as we do a turnaround with our friends. I guess we are a people who never truly trust in each other. If we really had faith in each other, we would know without having to prove anything that we mean something to others, especially those we love. Do we still love those who we think offended us, or do we stop loving them? If we stop, then we must question if we ever really love them in the first place. We search for the fault in others, yet we are the ones making the assumptions. We draw the conclusions from these assumptions, and we base some of our decisions on what we see as the reality of the situation. Do we ever ask ourselves, how good are our assumptions? How much faith can we have in any of them? Are we willing to toss over a marriage, a link to our kids, our sibling relationships, and friendships on assumptions? As serious as these questions are, the answers are sad. Most of us do make decisions without having real facts or reasons. Much of our illusions are fabricated. Our minds run the reel, and the movie begins with us playing the lead role, being damaged in some way, and retreating for cover. Those who have pained us are cut from our lives. One has to agree that this will make our relationship difficult to maintain. If we choose to believe in the truthfulness of another, then it is easy to understand why we want to sever the connections. I, for one, have trouble with severing. As angry as I get, I begin to remember the happy times I spent with others, and then I question why someone would now suddenly dislike me. So I change my mind about the cutting, but I'm still wary of this person who has now lost some of my faith. I find this sad. I might be the one causing the dilemma. Perhaps this person was never even considering me in any way, and here I have assumed they wanted me out of the circle. Most of us let our feelings rule our minds. In such instances, and without any breaks, we go over the bridge. Now I put such thoughts to the back of my mind, and I leave them there, unless, of course, similar happenings cause me to bring them forward again at a future date. Man is fragile. Those among us who are self-assured are still at risk of sabotaging our sense of self. All that is required is suppositions. Children always assume mom or dad loves a sibling more than them. Parents don't have the time, perhaps, to even consider such a notion. They're too busy working and caring for the kids. Parents sense a feeling of loss when kids marry. They believe they are not loved as much because they don't have the same time or access to their children. Adult kids likely love their parents more, but are leading their own lives and without the time to handhold and explain their feelings. This is an almost impossible thing to do. Siblings are so close to each other, even if they are at odds with one another. They are closely bonded, yet the quickest to be estranged. The jealousy over parental love and support is tremendous. Siblings compete throughout their lives, and most parents don't even take notice. No one talks about it, so the conjectures continue and truth is hidden. Friends engage in all sorts of rivalry for money, position, and jobs. They help each other out, but they also like to outperform each other. People like to talk, and anyone who is missing the discussions might likely be the topic of the discussions. When someone is absent, they run the risk of being targeted. Mothers-in-law assume their daughters-in-law are attempting to steal their sons away. Daughters-in-law assume their mothers-in-law want to control them and their husbands. No one gets the fact that nobody wants to be left out. Everybody is fearful, and they all are bound by love for the other. The playing fields change throughout our lives, but love always remains. I am not suggesting we are mean and vicious. I believe we are opportunists, and when a time approaches for us to get closer with someone we care about, we take the opportunity. It feels like we have enclosed ourselves in a tight circle, and we sense the love and belonging. It brings such comfort. We don't want anyone near it because we cherish it and we want it all to ourselves. In the end, we lose it if we hold on too tightly and make the conditions too difficult to abide by. So in all of this, I believe we all desperately want love. When we have it, we fear losing it. We panic and worry so much that we assume too much and begin to believe false accusations about family and friends. Likely marriages fail due to jealousy and competition. Other relationships break from too much tension. One answer might be to accept everyone into our sphere of love, which will render no one alone and lost. Maybe our fear of losing love is the reason for many transgressions. Some might lie because they believe the truth about themselves will not make them worthy enough. Some steal to enhance their lives, which it doesn't really appear to, they don't really appear to measure up, so they believe. Some are jealous because they have no confidence in their own value. Even marriages are threatened when we can't believe we are good enough to maintain the love for each other. Believing there is always someone better around the corner gives us little time to enjoy and praise what we have. If we could ever reach each other's mind, we would be so surprised at what each of us was actually thinking about when we are being accused of so many other wild ideas. I would venture to say, if I were at a party observing people, I would say, a young woman in the corner is thinking, if she is actually pregnant, because she is late and so anxious to have a baby. She is a bit testy with worry and tense from her lost thoughts of wonder. A young man is trying to impress his new wife and her family by doing it all. He is becoming overwhelmed in the process and angry at all of them who he perceives as being impossible to please. And the truth is, he is placing the burdens on his own shoulders. Of course, the in-laws are thinking, wow, what a nice guy she married. He's trying to do everything. How impressive he is. The mother-in-law is thinking, I must look stupid because I ask dumb questions of my daughter-in-law only because I don't want to insult my daughter-in-law or do anything she doesn't want me to do for the baby. Now the daughter-in-law is reflecting, how can my mother-in-law not know what to do? She raised kids. Why is she appearing so stupid? The wife is believing, my husband has spent so much time talking with that woman. I bet she is listening to his work stories and I always have no time to do that. The husband is actually thinking, I wish she would stop asking me so many questions. I don't even know this woman. Why is she interested in my work? And my wife has already given me the evil eye. The young woman might be thinking, I hope my boyfriend's watching this. How easily I can control a man's attention. If he isn't nicer to me, I could just leave. Trust is important in any relationship. Faith in who and what we are is paramount. By stopping ruminating over what others think and feel gives us more time to enjoy the moment. So many moments are lost in needless worry about losing love. It seems like it is important to love during the moment and don't let the time be wasted. What is crucially important is to love ourselves, because we all appear to be having trouble loving ourselves. By observing our own merit, it keeps the filter system going so we won't let our confidence seep out with our wrongful conjectures. We will save our loves, bonds, and moments of enjoyment that could have turned into nightmares of our own creation. I'm going to end with a couple of quotes. When dealing with critics, always remember this. Critics judge things based on what is outside of their content of understanding. That's Shannon Alder. Muriel Barbary, we never look beyond our assumptions, and that what's worse, we have given up trying to meet others. We just meet ourselves. The last one by Rochelle Goodridge. Problems don't actually exist. They're just the hallucinogenic effects of people being weirded out on what they think life is supposed to be. Thank you for listening. And if you want to see more, you can. And if you have any questions or suggestions or topics you'd like me to discuss, please send me an email. pam@pamreynolds.me, and you can go also to my website and get more. Thank you. Bye.